Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. And to you, my dear, and to my mom, and to all the other mothers around, happy day before Mother's Day.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Make sure that you get your mom a card that you can deliver, or send her an e-card, or give her a call. And look, let me just say this. If things haven't been the best between you, well, this is a time for you to take the first step. Make the call.
That's it.
You know, I never cease to be amazed at how some people can take one verse of scripture and twist it to suit their purposes and or lifestyle. For instance,
2 Corinthians 9, verse 7. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. That's from the Classic Amplified.
Yes, it is, indeed. Hallelujah. Now, believe it or not, the verse that was just read is often cited by some Christians as justification for not tithing. They say the scripture tells them to be cheerful givers, and that they cannot give up 10% of their income cheerfully. They'd feel better about 3% or maybe even 5%. But 10% is way too much. And they say, besides, tithing is an Old Testament legalism. This type of thinking, or lack thereof, is wrong on several levels. First, if you think tithing is a part of the old covenant, we encourage you to visit haroldherring.com and search for the teaching, A Fresh Look at New Testament Tithing. Second, such comments are scripturally dangerous.
Very dangerous.
Very dangerous.
It would lead others to think and act based on feelings and emotions and not the whole word of God.
There's a hedonistic philosophy that suggests if it feels good, do it. Or even worse, if it feels good, do it again. What if we applied this same logic to other basic Christian principles? We would only pray if we were in the mood or facing a real emergency. Perhaps we'd only attend church when it was convenient and didn't interfere with other things we were doing. We would do good to others as they did for us, and only if they did it first and we felt good about it. We'd honor our mother and father only because they gave us what we wanted. We would only worship God if we really liked the music and felt like singing and lifting our hands in praise. If a person subscribes to the philosophy of not doing what they can do cheerfully, then many people would probably never go to work or fix things around the house or help others in need. They would backslide in their faith and fall away from the things of God. Please understand that we're not saying you can't do all the things previously listed cheerfully, but the Bible teaches us not to be controlled by or respond to the leading of our emotions. And if we're led that way, some people aren't cheerful about anything, anyway, anytime. Any attempt to justify not tithing and giving offerings because it wouldn't make you happy is a weak, a lame alibi. And excuses about why we can't obey God. See, these kind of excuses don't impress him. Interestingly enough, the dictionary defines alibi as an excuse to avoid blame. Now, we've got several questions that we want to pose to you. Has there ever been a time when you didn't tithe or stopped tithing for a short period of time?
If a person, a robber, takes what doesn't belong to him even once in a while, does that make him any less of a thief?
Good question, honey. If the robber steals only what he or she, well, when they need money, Does that make him any less of a thief? If you've ever watched a television program or movie about criminals, you know the first thing the defense attorney wants to know is if they have an alibi. The attorney will advise his or her client whether or not they have a good alibi, the kind that will stand up in court and get them off the hook. Here's a question. Do you have an alibi for not tithing or giving offerings to God? Will it stand up in the court of heaven? Will God accept it on Judgment Day? Is the Word of God based on our view of our circumstances or what the Word says about the subject? For those who really want to be cheerful on Judgment Day, I suggest they forget the alibis and obey the Word of God.
2 Corinthians 9, verse 7 concludes by saying, "For God loveth a cheerful giver."
According to Strong's Concordance, cheerful is the Greek word hilaros, which means cheerful, joyous, prompt to do anything. And it only appears in the New Testament one time. The English word hilarious comes from this word. And the implication is that we're to be joyful givers. Now let's look at 2 Corinthians 9:7 in the Classic Amplified Bible.
Which I always enjoy.
Yes, you do.
"Let each one give as he has made up his own mind and purposed in his heart, not reluctantly or sorrowfully or under compulsion, for God loves, he takes pleasure in, prizes above other things, and is unwilling to abandon or do without a cheerful, joyous, prompt to do it giver whose heart is in his giving."
God created us to be agents of free will, meaning we have a choice to obey or not obey. The spiritual benefits of tithing and giving cheerfully, well, should make you smile big time. Every believer should become hilariously happy when they realize the incredible benefits that paying tithes and giving offerings can bring.
Amen to that.
Giving can be a happy, joyous experience, even when you're poor. You might be saying, "Really?"
But consider 2 Corinthians 8, 1 through 4 in the New Living Translation. "Now I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, what God in his kindness has done through the churches in Macedonia. They are being tested by many troubles, and they are very poor. But they are filled with abundant joy, which has overflowed in rich generosity. For I can testify that they gave not only what they could afford, but far more, and they did it of their own free will. They begged us again and again for the privilege of sharing in the gift for the believers in Jerusalem."
The churches in Macedonia understood the time to give was when things were tough, because that was that's the only way out of their situation. It's clear that in 2 Corinthians 9:7, the Apostle Paul was seeking to motivate fellow believers to give out of a true love for God motive. He was simply pointing out the benefits of proper giving. He definitely wasn't creating a loophole for those looking for an excuse not to give, but rather an incentive to do it properly. And then we had a former pastor who used to say that God loves a cheerful giver, but he'll take it from a grouch. There was a time I liked that because I thought it was funny, until I realized that it was, in fact, scripturally inaccurate. The scripture says that God loves a cheerful, hilarious, joyous, prompt to do a giver. So if we're not happy in our giving, then we've got to know that God isn't into our giving either. In other words, if he, as the scripture says,
he takes pleasure in, prizes above other things, think of that, and is unwilling to abandon or do without a cheerful, joyous, prompt to do it giver whose heart is in his giving. then it would appear that anything else would not make him happy.
Make no mistake about it. The local church, the ministry, or nonprofit organization may take your money and be happy about it, but it won't be pleasing to God. It won't be. Truthfully, I'm much more interested and motivated about how God looks on my giving than I am about my personal feelings, because my flesh will always offer a ready excuse. Do you want God to take pleasure in you? Do you want God to prize you above all things? Do you want God to never abandon you? Then your answer is clear. Be a joyful, even hilarious giver. Prompt to give what he says to give, regardless of your circumstances. When God directs us to give and obey his instructions, it draws us closer to him on a number of levels.
Now, the Lord will never give up on you. So when we say, do you want God to never abandon you, that's in finances, because he loves you. But his principles teach that if you give, if you sow, you will reap. And if you don't sow, as we've said many times, what are you going to reap? Because nothing from nothing equals nothing.
That's right.
So when we sow, even in the midst of hard times, like the Macedonians did, it may be even a test, and we've been through a few tests. It may be even a test to see if you will be faithful in your giving, and then it gives God the ability to be able to multiply that seed so that your harvest can take you out of your current situation.
Absolutely. Here's something to realize. Our money, first off, is not really our money. It's God's money.
True.
And we're just a steward of it. But the money that is in our possession or over which we have stewardship and control.
And entrusted to sow.
That's right.
Like we could go into the parable of the sower. But
that's right.
Go on.
Our money entrusted to us, how we handle that shows God that our heart is toward him.
Yes, very much so.
Our heart is toward him.
That's why when giving is, you know, when you give, it should be a joyful time.
That's right.
Because you are really not only doing what is right in God's sight, but it is opening yourself up for a blessing. Hallelujah.
It is.
The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich.
I know. Honey, I was just thinking about the story. I've told it before. Man who went to church on a holiday came offering time. He thought, oh, no, I got to give money. And he was kind of feeling around in his pocket for some money, hoping to find some coins or dollar bill, when he was tapped on the back shoulder. And the guy reached up and handed him a $20 bill. The guy saw, hey, this is a nice church. People around you give you money to give. So after the offering, after the service, he turned around to the guy and said, thank you for that $20. He said, yeah, I didn't think you knew it fell out of your pocket. Anyhow, be a joyous, happy, prompt to do it giver. You'll be blessed for it.
Amen.
If you've been blessed by the teaching, go to heraldhearing.com at the top where it says sow a seed. Just ask God what seed he'd have you put in the ground. Do what he says. That's all we ever ask. Make sure you check out this week's 2-minute video. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.